Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Laura W. from South Jersey, and I'm your moderator today. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Today's date is Tuesday, June 18th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are at page 26, the first paragraph, starting with a certain American businessman through that one paragraph only, ending with no satisfactory explanation for his fall. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Joan Marie M., the 12 traditions, Vanessa G., reader of the text is Juanice N., reader of page 164 is Alex K., our backup reader is also Joan Marie M. Our newcomer greeter is Hillary B. And announcements will be done by Leslie M. Thank you, everybody, for your service. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, June 17th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,492-21492. And for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, Tuesday, June 18th, the share ID is 21,494. 21494. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joan M. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Morning, Joan Marie M. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Moderator, are you there?
I'll go ahead. The 12 traditions of OA. 1, our commonwealth. Well, by the way, my name is Vanessa. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. And these are the 12 traditions of OA. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are the trusted servants they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. And 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. And I'll turn it back to Laura.
Thanks, Vanessa. Yeah, can I be heard?
Yes, you're good, Laura.
Okay, thanks so much. I got kicked off. So strange. Thank you so much, everybody, Joan Marie M. and Vanessa G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 26, the first paragraph, starting with a certain American businessman, through that one paragraph ending with no satisfactory explanation for his fall. And I will now ask Juanis N. to please get us started by reading and sharing for 3 minutes. Thanks, Juanis.
Good morning. Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, because I got kicked off too. Good morning. My name is Juanis. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California, and so grateful to have the opportunity to participate in my recovery today. A certain American businessman had ability, good sense, and high character. For years, he had floundered from one sanitarium to another. He had consulted the best known American psychiatrist. Then he had gone to Europe, placing himself in the care of a celebrated physician, the psychiatrist, Dr. Young, who prescribed for him. Though experience had made him skeptical, he finished his treatment with unusual confidence. His physical and mental condition were unusually good. Above all, he believed he had acquired such a profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind and its hidden springs that relapse was unthinkable. Nevertheless, he was drunk in a short time. More baffling still, he could give himself no satisfactory explanation for his fall. Woo, thank you so much. What this reminds me of in my own life is that it wasn't that I wanted to continue to compulsively overeat. It had lost all joy. It had lost all fun. It had lost all camaraderie. And it was just absolute misery and pain. And I sought help. I wanted to stop. I sought psychiatrists. I went to different food programs. I did everything that they said to do in those programs, and I did lose weight, put it all back on again, and I had tried everything that I could possibly think of to try, just like this guy did, you know, and he even went to Europe. I mean, he was really seeking. He wanted help, but just didn't know what the help was. I didn't know what my problem was. I didn't understand the nature of this disease and what the solution is, you know, and I see all of this human power in this paragraph, the psychiatrist and the trips and the inner springs and how his mental and physical was good condition, but what about his spiritual condition? Because that's where the problem is. I was spiritually ill. This is a spiritual malady, a spiritual sickness, and it needed a spiritual solution. Thank God for the day. I will never forget the day that I sat in a meeting and I heard a lady share that there is no program without prayer. Prayer creates the program. From that moment is when I realized that I needed to be seeking a God of my understanding through these steps, or I was never, ever going to be able to recover without that power. So then that's all for me. I'll pass, and thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Juanis, and thank you so much for getting us started. Before I take a list of names for those people who would like to share, just a reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. We're on page 26, that first paragraph, a certain American businessman, and I will take a list of names. Who would like to share? Please let us know your name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're from.
Alex K.
Stephen G.
I heard Alex K. I heard Stephen G.
Vanessa G.
Vanessa G.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M.
Susan C.
Susan C.
Diane B.
Diane B. Anybody else? We'll take one more in this lineup. All right, that's a great lineup. Alex K., Stephen G., Vanessa G., Joan Marie M., Susan C., and Diane B. Alex K., please let us know where you're calling from and share for 3 minutes.
Thank you, Laura. Thanks, everyone who's doing service and everyone who's here. I'm Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, and I've been given a reprieve for today. Self-knowledge. No matter how much knowledge I have, it won't solve my compulsive eating problem, because lack of knowledge is not my problem, and relying on my knowledge is relying on me and my thinking, and since my thinking is my problem, it can't also be my solution. My sick mind can't heal my sick mind. Self-knowledge alone, though it may be helpful, it can't remove my food obsession and compulsion. Just knowing that I can't eat a little bit of my binge foods that I can't stop and can't stop from starting doesn't help me not do it. I once thought it should. I thought if I understood everything about my disease, that would solve my problem. I told myself, I know this is bad for me. It makes me sick and miserable, so I won't do it anymore. But I kept doing it over and over. That's insanity. And then when I was unable to keep my resolutions not to compulsively eat, I felt like such a failure. I was totally demoralized and hopeless and berated myself for not having willpower. And I know now that I'm powerless. My willpower is useless against this disease. I need a power greater than myself. Only my higher power can relieve me of the compulsion and give me sanity around food. And it's amazing to me that today I'm not compulsively eating and I have no desire to compulsively eat. And that's been true for years, which is truly a miracle. It's not a result of my knowledge or my thinking or my willpower. It's a result of this program and my higher power. I could never make it happen, but my higher power can and does make it happen. And I'm beyond grateful. Thanks so much, everyone, for helping me with my recovery today. Pass.
Thank you, Alex K. from California. Up next is Stephen G. Stephen, let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Stephen G. from Toronto, Canada. I'm recovered compulsive over here. Thanks for your service. This particular story is the story of Roland Hazard, the son of a wealthy family in New England. And like us, or like me, I should say, he's got the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, but his main problem centers in his mind, and he's doomed. He doesn't know it yet. And he has access to all sorts of human power, all sorts of earthly material power, money coming from his family. It talks about his great personal characteristics, his intelligence, his high moral character, et cetera, et cetera. None of these things have helped him. And so he goes to see the psychiatrist, and that's this particular story is talking about Carl Jung, who was one of the top psychiatrists at the time. So more human power. And again, human power won't solve his problem. Within a day of leaving Carl Jung's treatment, his mental obsession kicks in, he drinks, he triggers the allergy of the body, and he goes on a binge. And he now is faced with the conclusion from Carl Jung, and he now accepts it, that he's going to die. And that was a critical component to his recovery. Carl Jung tells him you have to abstain, and you may be able to benefit from a spiritual experience. And he comes back, he joins the Oxford Group of the Day, which is the precursor to our 12-step program, and he recovers, and then he brings a solution to Abby Thatcher. And this story just reminds me that my own power, any earthly power, any other human power can't solve my problem. I need higher power. And when I realized I was doomed, I was willing to do what was necessary to access that higher power. And I recovered. Thank God. Thank God for this program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephen G. from Canada. Up next is Vanessa G., followed by Joan Marie M. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Vanessa G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. You know, when I read this story, I think of all the time that I spent in therapy. You know, I came to Overeaters Anonymous fairly a long time ago, fairly new in recovery from another program. And just like this sentence here, his physical and mental condition were unusually good. My mental and physical condition were unusually good for somebody coming to OA. I was coming to OA as a result of having found a spiritual awakening in another program and recognizing that I had some type of issue with food. And when I came to OA, I, you know, quote unquote, was struck abstinent. I was given neutrality. And went forward, and it worked until it didn't. I got the bright idea one day that I could have birthday cake for lunch, and fell down into a morass of compulsive overeating. Fought my way back, and still continuing to go to regular OA meetings along with my other program, but thought that the problem was that I had some undiscovered, you know, childhood trauma or, you know, some, discovered mental illness other than compulsive overeating. And then that's the reason that OA didn't seem to work. I went, luckily I found, you know, the person who was considered the best therapist in Albuquerque at the time. I sat with him for many years, and I sat in groups with a nutritionist and a psych nurse and, you know, even a famous author, you know, very, very smart, high-functioning people. All of them, you know, were trying to help me, and they all watched me, you know, put on, you know, way over 100 pounds again, maybe 125 pounds, and just lose every sense of faith that I had you know, my therapist tried to help me. He you know, wrote up, you know, as well as he could. I eventually ended up putting myself in 3 months of IOP in another state. None of it worked, and for very long, until I found my fellows in this meeting, actually, fellows that followed the big book, fellows that knew exactly what it meant to be the kind of compulsive overeater I am. You know, I am a very serious, real compulsive overeater, and I need you guys to remind me of that and to help me walk through this book. There is a solution. I found it here. I found it in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I am a recovered compulsive overeater as a result. Thank you so much for letting me share this morning. Thank you for letting me be a part of your recovery and a part of, you know, and to receive a part of yours. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. Up next is Joan Marie M., followed by Susan C., and please let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Joan Marie. Joan Marie M., please press *1.
I'm talking away to myself. Thank you. Joan Marie M. from Nevada, and grateful to be on the line today to hear the recovery. Been in regular OA for a long, long time and never got recovered. I got abstinence, but no recovery because I was on a diet and with support. So today what really stands out is going to any lengths that I thought I was, seeking help out there. I went to psychiatrists. I did a one-year commitment where we play act, and we had to commit, and then it was closed. I went to a facility here in Nevada that was eating disorder, and I thought, oh, great, this will be my answer. They'll lock me up, and I'll be fine. And when I went, they said, yeah, you'll stay here during the day, and then at night you'll be able to go home. I thought, no, that's never going to work. Nighttime is the worst time. So today, you know, it's like surrender, surrender, prayer, prayer. It's a spiritual melody, and when that is taken care of, the physical will. And this is a spiritual program. It's about a God of my understanding. It's about praying about everything, pausing, which means to me praying. It's about doing a nightly review. It's about having a sponsor who worked the steps and lives the steps. I'm so grateful for the solution of a problem that is spiritual in nature. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Up next is Susan C., followed by Diane B. Susan, let us know where you're calling from. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is Susan C. from Pennsylvania. And this was such a powerful reading. It just reminded me of how I've been fighting this disease from a very early age. And I did everything and anything that I could do in terms of, you know, food, exercise. I spent thousands of dollars, and in a way I don't regret it. I did learn some things. I had a lot of fun. I went all over the country, and it never really solved my problem. And I had also been in OA before this. When I went away, though, I did go somewhere where we worked the big book. We did just like what we're doing here. We did the big book and had a plan when I came home, and that worked for a while. So the first time that I got on this meeting, I felt a lot of peace because the focus wasn't on the food. I'm like, oh, thank God, because that's all I thought about and how I was going to solve it, and then how, you know, I was in and out of binging. So one of the things that from the meeting is that, you know, this is the there's a spiritual solution, and so I need to do like step 1, 2, and 3 every day, just to remind me that of my powerlessness. And that's the first 3 steps. And I used to think, why are they talking about God when you first walk in the room? And now it's like, I get it. You know, this is where the power is, and that's the 3 steps. So, you know, and then 10, 11, and 12, too. Again, it's that doing the inventory, and it's just, you know, it definitely is a spiritual solution. It's not the other things that I've done in the past. I can still do those things. You know, there are some fun activities, some learning about nutrition and things like that. It's not for waste. And I'm just really grateful, and so grateful for everybody that comes on the meeting and shares the experience, strength, and hope that I can really relate to in every way, shape, or form. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan C. from Pennsylvania. Up next is Diane B., and then after Diane, I'll take a new list of names. Diane, where are you calling from?
Good morning. My name is Diane B., and I'm gratefully recovered here in New York. And thank you, everyone, for your service. So, you know, we know, I mean, I can repeat everything everybody else just said, but I won't. But we do know that this man, Roland Hazard, first went to see Dr. Freud, who was the number one psychiatrist at the time. He couldn't take him on. Then he went to Adler, who also couldn't take him on. And so he went to Dr. Jung in Switzerland, who did have space for him. So from this, I keep thinking, you know, 3's the charm. That's what we keep hearing. And, you know, self-knowledge is not enough. I had lots of self-knowledge. And before I came into the rooms, my self-knowledge was actually incorrect because I thought it was about calories in, calories out. And that's not what it's about for me. I didn't know that this was a disease. And it wasn't until I came into the rooms that I learned that it was a disease. And yet I still couldn't really get, I got the program. I had periods of recovery. And then I go back into relapse, in and out, in and out. And so this is why I'm thinking 3's the charm. You know, the third doctor is the one who really helped Roland Hazard. He's the one who brought us step 2 because he's the one who said that we need a power greater than ourselves. The self-knowledge that Roland had learned by spending a year with him, it wasn't enough. He got drunk again. So I think what I want to say is if you're new to OA, if you're new to this meeting, just keep coming back. You know, we keep hearing that in our meetings. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. And it does work. And I had to learn how to work it so that it would work for me as well. And it took me many, many years to get to this level of recovery. And I'm very, very grateful. But, you know, just keep coming back. 3's the charm. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Diane B. from New York. And just a reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on any vision meeting Friday or Monday, please hold off and wait until tomorrow. We're on page 26, the first paragraph, a certain American businessman through no satisfactory explanation for his fall. And it could probably take 6 people or so.
Karen Kelly in Missouri.
I heard Karen KZ from Missouri.
Kelly L from Washington.
Julie
Kelly
P. L from Washington. Julie P. Who else would like to share?
Nancy C from Washington.
Nancy C. 2 more.
Genoa B from Nevada.
Genoa B. from Nevada.
V as in Victor.
V, sorry. Okay.
Uh-huh. No problem.
All right, so I've got Karen KZ, Kelly L., Julie P., Nancy C., and Genoa V. Let's see where we are after those five. And Karen KZ, please unmute and share with us.
Thank you. This is Karen KZ in Missouri, a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. And in this paragraph, when he talks about he acquired such profound knowledge of the inner working of his mind that relapse was unthinkable. And when I was in this program for many years, I thought I was controlling everything. I was controlling my food. I was abstinent. Oh, I'm so proud of the days I was abstinent, but I was not recovered. I did not have the happy, joyous, and free that comes from being recovered because I thought it was all about me still. Even though I said the third step prayer, I turn it over. I didn't turn anything over. I still managed and controlled everything. Fortunately, when I came back in and got really serious and attended these vision meetings and worked with a vision sponsor, I got it, but it keeps every day, it keeps growing. As I work with other people and support them in their recovery and take them through the steps, this big book has more to say to me and comes more alive. And the bottom line for me in this recovery is that I have to trust and rely totally on a power greater than myself for direction in my life, because when I do that, then my life, things happen that are miracles that I couldn't have ever planned. And I love when it says in the How It Works, you know, that we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives are unmanageable, that we have to be willing to turn it over completely and rely on that power, because it's like God will take over my life and will give me everything good and will lead me through difficulties if and when I invite him to do so. So I'm just forever grateful that I've finally gotten that, and I love sharing it with other people. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Karen KZ from Missouri. Up next is Kelly L. from Washington, followed by Julie P. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Hi, everybody. Kelly L., a recovered compulsive overeater from Washington State. You know, this paragraph for me is a cautionary tale about me and recovery, because it's easy for me to get an unusual confidence now that I've, you know, completed the 12 steps, you know, I work with sponsees, and, you know, much of my suffering has been removed, let alone 100 pounds of weight. But just life is great, you know, life is amazing. It's better than it ever has before. My physical and mental condition is incredibly better than it's ever been before. So that gives me that unusual confidence. It's very easy to, I've heard somebody refer to that as spiritual arrogance. And a friend, fellow, and I were talking a little bit ago about we can recover ourselves out of recovery if we're not careful. The desperation that I had when I came here, the physical ailments, the troubles with relationships, you know, a lot of those have been removed. And so, you know, sometimes I don't feel like I need to rely on God as much as I did in the beginning. And that is very, very dangerous for me. So, you know, it says here about unusual confidence, and, you know, confidence is that feeling or belief that you can rely on someone or something. And I just need to remind myself that though I've recovered, I've completed the 12 steps, you know, I'm living in, you know, complete abstinence for almost a year, I cannot have that feeling or belief that I can rely on myself ever, because that will be the undoing, and relapse will be very thinkable and will come true for me. So anyway, thanks for letting me share, and have a great day.
Thanks, Kelly L. from Washington. Up next is Julie P. Please let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Julie P. I am calling from Minnesota, and I truly want to thank everybody this morning for your shares and your service. I am totally relating to this paragraph this morning. I feel like my disease is a little chihuahua nipping at my heels, nipping at the back door. It will do whatever it has to do to get in. I have started a new job, and all of a sudden I am working nights, and got home last night late, and all of a sudden my husband is sleeping behind closed doors, and that old food behavior of, oh, I'm going to sneak this food, nobody's going to know, came back. And I succumbed. I ate a pecan. And that may seem like nothing to anybody else, but to me, that's the start of my downfall. And I'm grateful this morning that my higher power said, I need to double down. I need to really connect and do what I need to do and get back to my meeting and work this program even harder, because this disease is ruthless. And my thinking is the thing that got me here. So I really want to thank you all for 12-stepping me this morning. I need it, and I'm right where I need to be. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Julie P. from Minnesota. We're glad you're here. Thank you for your share. We're on page 26, the first paragraph. If you just joined us, a certain American businessman, just that one paragraph. And up next is Nancy C. from Washington, followed by Genoa V. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. I'm Nancy C. I'm from Washington State. I really appreciated the lead this morning and everything I've heard. It reminds me of kind of what I do that is working, is that in the morning I just, the first thing in my mind, I'm grateful to say, is like, God help me, God help me, God help me. And rather than, you know, kind of going through my self-recrimination about what I ate yesterday or what my plan is for today. And so right now I have that grace, and I hope it stays with me forever. But also the other thing my thinking tends to fall back on is that my wonderful God-given food plan, which that I took from the Dignity of Choice OA pamphlet as a guide for abstinence, that's not a diet. And it's, you know, I need it. I need to study it. I need to remember it. But it in itself is not the solution. And my old patterns would lead me to believe that, oh, I've got to follow this diet today. And I've done a lot of diets, a lot of diets. I'm 72, and I've done some diets. So I just have to remember that only gets me part way. And it's part of the solution, but the ultimate solution is spiritual. And I have to remember that it's in a higher power's power, not my own willpower or my own sort of design. So I just wanted to share that. I've gotten a lot of help over the years from therapy and counseling and treatment centers and that sort of thing, but it didn't go far enough, and neither does my abstinent food plan go far enough. What goes far enough is for me to remember that I'm in a spiritual solution, and I need to grow my spirituality and my spiritual growth to be able to maintain this. So I'm really grateful for it, and thanks everybody for.
Thank you, Nancy C. from Washington. Up next is Genoa V. from Nevada. Good morning, Genoa.
Good morning, everybody. This is Genoa V. as in victory in Nevada. Thank you all for your service. Juanita, thank you for getting us started this morning. I just love that story about Roland Hazard. Because I relate to that, and you know, of course, I thought if I could do this, if I could do that, then you know, and there were times when I found diets and shots and pills and different stuff, and it's like, whew, I'm fixed. I'm glad I won't have a problem with that anymore. you know, or I had learned some things about myself, and so self-knowledge would fix me. I'm sure I'm good to go now, only to always return to the food and the weight, and I would just be flabbergasted. You know, and I'm one of these people, God had to take me really slow, because it has taken me well over 20-something years in and out of OA and getting little pieces of information. I'm so thankful for the sponsors that helped me. I'm even thankful for the ones who said they couldn't help me and they let me go, because you know what? They let me go and I was able to find somebody who could help me and give me the correct information about what is wrong with me. But, you know, when I first heard that this was a disease, I thought, a disease? Well, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. A disease? I just have a little problem with eating. I don't have a disease. You know, it took me a while to really grasp that, to really understand that. And then to go further, to hear somebody talk about not eating their alcoholic food, Shazam, that blew me away. I had never heard that terminology before, and I came to OA from AA, which was a big problem for me because I didn't feel like you all knew what you were talking about anyway. I just needed to get this and help you. A lot of ego had to be broken down, but I have to say I'm so grateful today for my sponsor that has really drilled into me about, yeah, I got a food plan from a dietitian. That's great, okay, because I don't know how to feed myself. But let's work on this spiritual relationship. Let's work on your relationship with God. You know, how's that on a daily basis? You know, and that's what I really focus on now. And thank God, I'm not battling with the food today, but guess what? I'm left with Genoa and what's in my head. That's what I have to deal with today and those character defects. So I try my best as I humanly can, and it's progress, not perfection, right? To stay close to God, to try to do those things, to spend time making that spiritual connection on a daily basis. That's the difference today. And I'm so grateful that I understand that today, and not only understand it, but I'm practicing it today by God's grace. I thank you all for being here and allowing me to share.
Thanks, Genoa V. from Nevada. We have time for about 2 more 3-minute shares. Would like to share on that paragraph on page 26, the first paragraph. First name and first initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
This Diane is Karen. B, Canada.
I'm sorry, Diane B.
Barbara A, California.
And Barbara A from California. Great. Okay, Diane B, I think from Canada, and Barbara A from California. Diane, you're up.
Hi there. I'm just going to clarify, it was Diane G.
G, thank you.
Okay. So I'm Diane G, a grateful, recovered, compulsive reader from Canada. And I've just been reflecting back to 1984. I was 23 years old, and I went to my first pay and weigh, and it took me a year to lose 50 pounds. And I stood in the front of the room and everybody clapped as I got my lifetime membership. And I thought, this is it. I didn't realize what the next 40 years would entail, the mental torture, the gaining, the losing, the putting on, gaining, until I came into Overeaters Anonymous. And it's changed my life. And one thing when I came into the rooms that really pissed me off was people would say, it's only for 24 hours, one day at a time. And I thought, you have to do all this work for 24 hours. But now I get it. I get it. And I'd like to share with you a song that I sing often. And I'm quite an amazing singer. I just can't get anybody else to acknowledge that. So instead of singing it, I'm going to share with you the lyrics. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday is gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. God, help me today. Show me the way one day at a time. And if you would like to hear those lyrics, you can just look up One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. And on that, I'd like to pass.
Thank you, Diane G. from Canada. Up next is Barbara A. from California.
Good morning, moderator. And again, thank you for providing this your service for this meeting this morning. So grateful to have a meeting here with Overeaters Anonymous. I just want to share that it's been a couple of rough days of just being discontent and annoyed and anxious and being able to just really recognize that, reach out to a sponsor, come to a meeting. I was in it yesterday and I wanted to share, and I'm so grateful that I pressed the button today. This is how I recover. This is how I get out of that self-centeredness, that ego, that wanting to be, oh gosh, you don't understand how hard life is for me. I just need to be sad. I want you to hear how sad I am. This program teaches me and has taught me through abstinence, through working the steps, that when I am feeling that stinking thinking, I got that from another program, stinking thinking. I don't like how I feel. I have to change what I'm thinking. And that means leaning into God, keeping my side of the street clean, and helping others. That's the big clue there for me. Get out of myself. Call someone. Ask how their program's going. Share my experience, my strength, my hope, not my self-centeredness, not my self-pity. Share with them how I evolved from that through God, through going to God and asking in prayer, please take me out of this. I don't like the way I'm feeling. I don't like the way I'm thinking. That brought me to the ruins. So thank you for letting me share. This is Barbara A. from California, and I pass. Thank you again, moderator.
Thank you so much, Barbara A. from California. We have time for about a minute and a half share, almost 2 minute share. Would somebody like to take the last one? Anybody want a last share? Burning desire? Now we got about a minute. Who'd like a 1 minute share?
Hi, this is Sherry F. from Arizona.
Sherry, take it away. You got about a minute.
Just want to say I love this paragraph. I've been in OA for about 7 years, and it has truly changed relationships in my life. It's changed the relationship I have with others. It's changed the relationship I have with God, and it changed the relationship I have with myself. I'm much more loving, much more forgiving of myself, and I really have realized the miracle of letting go of sugar and letting God in. It's been a true miracle. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry A. from Arizona. Okay, we've got about 15 seconds left, so we're going to close the meeting. It's now time to close. We're going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Alex K. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Laura. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you'll surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.